The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Sudden alteration in belief systems, moodiness, and confusion are natural side effects of listening to this podcast. Enjoy at your own risk.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Before I dig in and bring a little science to the paranormal, so to speak, with my good friend Robin, I want to talk to you guys about something that's been really, really, really helpful to me as a podcaster. You know, you talk about the scientific method. There's nothing worse than having to do the same thing over and over and over again to try to get the same result to prove its existence. But are you doing science experiments with your audio editing? Really? Have you just reached your maximum output and input when you've just been cutting and copying and pasting and deleting and you're absolutely fed up? Well, I got the perfect product for you. It is Accusonus. You guys have got to try this out. They've got an audio editing suite that plugs into everything, just about everything. I use Audacity personally, but I'm sure it'll plug into yours too. It's well worth the cash. This thing is amazing because, as smart as I come off, I'm not the most brilliant audio editor, okay? I'm all looks. You guys know that. Hence the reason why I'm in podcasting. But the reality of it is you got a lot of work ahead of you as a podcaster for editing. So what do? We use Accusonus's amazing audio software. All I got to do is turn a knob. That's right. With the turn of a knob, I can take away background noise, level off audio. Dude, this is amazing. You guys have got to try this out. If you're an audio podcaster type guy or gal or people, as we say here in Canada, you've got to give these guys a chance. So scroll on down those show notes, check out Accusonus, and just want to say a big thank you to them as they are a wonderful sponsor, even through this horrible, horrible pandemic.
Anyway, I've already got an introduction done for you and stuff like that, so we're just going to take this right from where we're to, because
okay.
I'm not going to stop. You sound beautiful as always, and I just could not wait to have you back. I wanted to make sure I get you back. There's always a little bit of pressure to have anybody who might be ill back, because you never know, and I don't want to say that too much on the show because I don't want to bum anybody out or yourself, but I think it's important.
I'm ready. I am so ready to be done.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got my funeral planned and everything.
And that's just a scary thought. Like this is why I wanted to have you back on. Like, this is another thing we talked about, because the feeling I get with you, Robin, is that you're very at peace with it.
I am. And I'm also looking forward to doing the research from the other side.
Right. Listen, you better come visit me. Like, I'm going to know it's you because, you know, that beautiful voice, I'll know it from a mile away anyway. But
we've been trying to find out a code word. Do you remember, that magician? What was his name?
David Copperfield?
Older. Harry, no?
Houdini?
Houdini, yes. He gave his wife a word that he would say so she would know it was him.
Hmm. Okay, so we need to have a ghostly safe word. That's what you're trying to tell me. Okay, so here it is. Your last name, man. That's a rarity. Your Bellamy. How do you pronounce it exactly? I always pronounce it wrong. I always say I want to say bologna because I'm from Newfoundland. It's our favorite food, right? But no, it's Bellamy. And if I hear the word Bellamy after you go, I'll know it's you.
Except it is Bellamy.
It's interesting. I was actually talking to my father, and he's like, you know, John, something strange happens. After you make peace with the idea that you're going to die soon, it's almost like you attract other people into your life who are also at peace with that. And I thought it was just this aha moment. And I hate to say it, but it made me think of three people, and you were one of them.
Aww.
I was like, man, I really got to get Robin back on so we can finish our conversation, because you never know. And
we're never going to finish our conversation. It's going to go on forever.
True. I just hope when you do haunt me, you leave me alone like while I'm asleep. Because I'm having some trouble sleeping here lately, not going to lie. Has there been any advance with your brain tumor, Robin?
No.
No.
I recently had an MRI, and it's still very, very small, so they're not worried yet.
Okay, so you're still living large and doing everything you can to enjoy your life, eh?
Yeah.
Good.
More than I ever have before, that's for sure. Because I always felt that I had to do something on purpose, you know what I mean? It had to have a meaning to it, and now I just do what I like to do.
It's interesting. Dad told me, he's like, I never wanted to live so much of my life as when I knew I was going to die earlier.
Really?
And it was like this creepy thing. I looked at him and I said, dude, you're creeping me out, man. Like, this is 12 years ago, by the way. Dad is still alive. Like, so don't write yourself off just yet. But speaking of which, no one can explain that. I mean, Dad should be dead. And this is why science and the paranormal is such a big deal to me. Because I do feel that in this field, in paranormal research, there's so many people out there who, they basically see what they see on TV and they emulate that.
Yeah.
And but the reality of it is there's so much more to this. There's so many more layers to this. And there's so much evidence and data that people are just completely just not even noticing. I feel like you might be the type of person I could sit down and have a sensible conversation with about this, because guess what? We've both been on both sides of this. Yeah. You've done extensive research, especially with genealogy. Guys, this is a lot of work. Like, the word tedious.
Well, I have an accounting degree, so tedious is my middle name.
Right? And I'm sure that, you know, as we weigh in on these topics and stuff like that together tonight, you'll see why I wanted to have you back on for this bonus content, because I just know that my listeners loved you. I got emails saying, my God, she sounds so sweet. I hope she keeps fighting. I hope you have her back on. John, like, you got to have her back on to let her finish talking about science, because we wanted to talk about it, but we were, like, too pressed for time. So let's just go ahead and dig into it. Like, I know that there's certain aspects of the paranormal that you are a believer in. It's as same with me. And I want everyone out there to get, like, kind of refamiliarize yourselves a little time with what your belief system is right now.
Oh, that's a complicated question. Just start off with the easy stuff, huh?
Yeah, listen. This is a continuation of our last podcast, so I got to hit you over the head with the mallet now.
Okay. I don't see paranormal research as spiritual in any way, so I have no belief about demons or possession or, you know, all that stuff that tends to fall under religion. I have a very straightforward scientific approach. I believe that there is an element of biology involved. I do believe in some kind of an afterlife, whether it's as a ghost or a saint or whatever. But I don't think we necessarily have control over that. And I think that there's a scientific explanation for everything.
There you go. One of the things that I've always just went on investigations and been the wet blanket, and I talked about this last time, and you just laughed at me. You were like, you got to come investigate with me sometime, because I love the wet blankets, right? Because you guys get scared easy. So basically, what ends up happening is that, you know, when people are like, man, aren't you afraid to go out and investigate these places when you're not looking for ghosts? I'm like, no, because there's nothing, to me, it's way scarier. People who are alive are way scarier.
Well, statistically, nobody has ever been physically injured by a ghost.
Now, there's been people who say they're attacked by demons and stuff, but once again, this goes back to religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as you say the word demon, it's religious right away.
Yep, and judgmental.
Right? So who's to say this ghost is a demon at all? Just to throw this out there, and it might be because I have a soft spot for kids with mental disabilities and stuff like that, because look at what I do for a living. I mean, I'm a foster parent to disabled kids. But, you know, getting bite and scratched by someone who doesn't know any better might be happening too.
Well, and I'm not even sure that they're being bitten and scratched as they report it. I think there might be something else going on.
Yeah, like I've seen, there's a couple of people who have reported this, and I've seen it in different place locations, stuff like that, but the reality of it is, I mean, close on 132 investigations, I've never had any kind of physical contact whatsoever, even in some of the most notoriously haunted and darkest places you can be in Newfoundland. The only thing I ever got was tapped on the shoulder, and that was so subtle, it was definitely jarring. It gave me a good fright, but other than that,
I had evidence of physicality. We had somebody, my team and I had somebody sit on the bed, And you could see the depression on the bed.
Right? Like, so we have the evidence of this.
Right.
That's different, right? So like,
right.
Like, which always kills me, because people are like, oh, you know, we got the evidence of this. We know exactly what's happening. And it's like, dude, you walked into a cobweb. Like...
Well, and my big complaint, I think, is the lack of use in scientific methodology.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, what kills me is people go in there and they're like, hey, like, this place is haunted. We're going to find a ghost. It's like,
yep.
No. Like, I approach it the same way as if I was going to go study an animal. Which was interesting, because you mentioned biology earlier, and I was like, wow, she's totally on my wavelength. You know, you are right, because you got to treat this thing like if you're going looking for a ghost, so to speak, or a hunting, like this is an entity. This is a being. This exists. It's no different than an insect. Yeah. And it's quite possible it exists. So what do? We try to find it and find data to collect on it. So,
well, I'll tell you what convinced me. I did an investigation at Waverly Hills in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lasers set up. And we saw something walk across the lasers. You could see it break the laser beam. And I said, you know what? There's got to be something physical there.
Yeah. So it was a laser grid you mentioned?
Well, it wasn't quite a grid yet. This was way before they did grids.
Okay.
I just wanted to have something on camera just in case.
Right.
You know? And I think a lot of our research is just in case.
Isn't it interesting? Like, when I went out there, I used to have all these cameras going and all, but eventually I got so obsessed with the audio only, I just didn't even bother with the camera. I was like, you know what, the hell with this. I'm sticking with audio phenomena. Like, that's my thing. So... Absolutely. You almost want to have as many bags, as many empty bags as you can to fill with data as you can. So,
I actually carry the brown paper lunch bags.
Oh, yeah.
I also do a fair bit of cryptozoology. So I'm constantly picking up broken twigs and poop and all kinds of stuff.
It's like, how do you explain this to your family?
I have an entire case that has my microscope and my slides and my samples in it. And my 20-year-old son just rolls his eyes.
My favorite part of this story is the fact that it's true.
Yes.
Like, I know for a fact there were many times I've gone out and I was like, I'm not into cryptozoology. I'm not doing this. And people were like, listen, you got to come here because we think there is something here and we don't know what it is. I'm like, are you sure this is not a cryptid? Like, if it's cryptid, I'm not touching it. Like, I got somebody else I know who do it, right? And they were like, well, I mean, you're a paranormal investigator. Isn't that what you do? I'm like, no, I'm an audio guy. Yeah. I'm an EVP researcher. They're like, oh, well, can you come record us? Like,
well, I also do, I don't do UFOs at all. I just don't do UFOs. They scare me, and I just don't do it.
Now, this,
but I get a lot of calls, you know, people want me to give an opinion on them. I'm like, I don't research UFOs.
Right.
You're a paranormal person. Well, that doesn't mean I know everything.
That's right. Like every musician out there. You know, just because I'm a musician, I can play guitar. Oh, well, you better play Stairway to Heaven. Well, maybe I don't know Stairway to Heaven, okay? Maybe I know Purple Rain. Enjoy Purple Rain, damn it.
Actually, there's discussion about the use of the word professional in the business.
That's right.
Well, there's even discussion about calling it a business.
Yeah.
And there are very few people who make any money at this.
That's right. Yep. I got a huge...
Those of us,
I had like a huge... self-doubtful thing going on, like when it came time to decide whether or not I was going to charge for investigations. I was like, you know what? I just ethically can't do it. Because even though I believe and I know the data I get is the real deal and stuff I do is the real thing, like I'm the boring guy nobody wants to read about who published the book. Right? Yeah. Like, I know that. The reality of it is I still don't know what I'm talking to. So...
Yeah.
I don't really think it's... If anything, it's field research for a real scientist to get in there someday and maybe say, oh, this place has lots of activity. Maybe we'll find out what's really going on, right?
Well, I've been fortunate that I've had real scientists, quote-unquote, involved in my investigations. I have a linguist. Like, he goes through all the EVP to see if it's possible that they made those sounds and they put thoughts together that way, and the levels and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know anything about that, which is why I have him.
Man, he would love to hear some of my stuff because, you know, like stuff coming through in the same tone and dialect, he might have a better ear for it than me, right? Especially where I'm kind of Irish and we talk really fast. So it's like, they're like, dude, how did you pick that EVP out of that, man? It was so fast. And when you slowed it down, it was the full word. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of Irish.
But you're resourceful. That's also an Irish thing.
Right? Don't even get me started. Got to be in this place. So talk to me a little tiny bit about what you would do differently. Like, I know you've done many, many investigations. So, you know, we say scientific method, we throw the word around. But the reality of it is most people who are out there, they have an idea of what scientific method is from high school.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they know how to really apply that, so to speak, to, you know, an actual, well, quote unquote, ghost hunt. So,
well, and they always put themselves out there, especially on YouTube and things like that, that they are professionals and they are scientifically based. Well, if you've got an EMF meter in your hand, that's your sign you're lying.
That's right. Yeah. That's like me walking outside with a hammer in my hand and saying, I'm a carpenter.
Or even more, it's more like you walking outside with the hammer in your hand and saying, oh, look at the weather.
It gonna rain.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, it's actually raining here.
I hold a hammer.
Right? Like, and hit people over the head with this hammer. Here it comes. Like, yeah, we've got to say this, that there are two types of people who are into this field. There's the people who want to get famous, and there's the people who want to get answers. And, you know.
There's also a third group of people who want to do respectable research.
I agree, 100%.
I think there are people who want answers who aren't willing to do the extra effort.
Yes.
And there is a lot of extra effort.
Oh, my God, yes. Like, I had a conversation with someone one time who was... her thing was, believe it or not, she was an oratory medium. So what I mean by that is that it was all smell.
Oh.
So she would smell things, and it was just like, what the hell? Like, I've never seen anybody do this before. And it was really, really interesting to go in there and find, you know, records and stuff later on of burn victims that she said, you know, I can smell burnt flesh here. Like, someone was burning to death in the fire here. I know it. And we researched later, and it was actually someone had burned to death in the house. So, you know, that's somebody who I know who I have an investigation. Like, how on earth would I ever have someone like that on my investigation and be able to use the scientific method? Like, how would you ever recreate that, right?
Actually, you can. There is a machine that identifies what scents are actually in the air. Tell you that, that she's not probably smelling something real. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And that would be a good thing to document.
Right. And then there's the other part of it, too, where it's like, I mean, I know that literally paranormal means you cannot use a scientific method to figure this stuff out. The closest thing I could ever find is repeatable data, the same thing over and over again. So, like, I'd like, to me, the closest thing to scientific method I could get with EVP or for anybody out there who don't know what that is, that's you know, sights and or mostly sounds caught on recorder that shouldn't be there. Sometimes you're lucky.
It's very good for communicating with your entity.
That's right.
I found that they are willing to interact with your voice discussion.
I've had conversations that took years, and they're just sentences.
Yep.
Like, and it's, I don't know how time passes where they are. And sometimes I wonder, you know, does it pass so fast over there? Or does it pass so slow? I'm in the camp that it probably passes very, very slow.
I think that it might be variable. I think for some it may be slow and others maybe not.
Which brings me to my next question, of course. So let's say me and you are going to hang out. We're going to go on our ghost investigation because we're crazy. You know, we can't wait to do this. Like,
we love coffee.
We love coffee. We can't get enough caffeine. Obviously, I'm addicted. I mean, it's 10 to 11 at night. I just had like 13 cups of coffee now just to get through this. But I'm going to do this because it's so important to have you on again. I love the idea of what do we do to mimic the scientific method. So let's do it. Me and you together, step by step, how me and you would go about this, okay? Well, you're the lead investigator, by the way. I'm just your EVP guy. So you take it away. How would me and you investigate, I don't know. Oh, one of those haunted hotels you're so fond of. Wink, wink.
Well, the scientific method has basically seven steps. And the first is to ask the question. And I think that's where most amateur hobbyist groups drop the ball. They want to say something broad, like, do ghosts exist? But the question needs to be something measurable. You can't just say, is there a ghost in my house? And expect to get a quantitative answer to that. You can say things like, the glass that's moving across the countertop should not be doing that. Why isn't it doing that? You know?
Exactly. In my case, it would be, I have a very staunch belief that if it's not more than three words, it's not an actual EVP. And a lot of people don't like that because it eliminates,
But that's actually excellent criteria.
Yeah, I think it should be a sentence. I think electronic voice phenomena, and especially instrumental communication, transcommunication, sorry. Yep. Like whenever that's going, like if you're using a spirit box, like that should be like multiple word. And I documented that myself too in my book. I talked about made communications, which are multiple word, audible to the ear, intelligently communicated in direct response to stimuli or you.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is that, a lot of times we get EVP and there's no one there. No one's in the room. It's just a dead recorder. So, yep. I think there's having that criteria and a little bit more staunch, not every bump, every knock is going to be a ghost.
Right.
I think too, like as soon as you can get your head around that idea, what you are going to catch is going to be so much more factual sounding, at least to people who are a lot more skeptical. You know what I mean?
Well, and you're going to get people more often letting you into their space to do investigations.
That's right.
The public has really been done a disservice from all the exposure they get on like YouTube and stuff like that. And people show up at their house. That's wrong.
Yeah. I'm definitely not a fan of investigations that are poorly planned.
Which is all of them.
And believe it or not, like I've been very, very fortunate to thank God Newfoundland's a small place. because news got around pretty quick, and next thing I'm in, like, these haunted museums by myself at night. Like, that's unheard of. People aren't allowed to do that. They're not really trusted with that. So I'm so happy to have those opportunities and to be able to go back 17 times to one location.
Wow.
And have some really, really cool communication with a ghost who has since stopped communicating. So I'm happy. Wow. I don't know what happened, but just suddenly stopped.
Have you been able to identify that person?
I was, actually. Yeah, it was.
Isn't that fulfilling? That is such a joy.
It was really cool, man. You would have loved this. Wait a second. This is kind of genealogy stuff, so maybe I'll geek out with you for a second. I'll tell you my genealogy story, because what's in a name, right? So we knew that there was a death on site of this telecommunications museum. Okay, so this is a place they used to spy the Germans with, basically. And, this was all radio. Everything was radio there. And, unfortunately, one of the officers that was there looking after the place got electrocuted to death in one of the hot rooms there, that where all the wiring would be. Like, you realize, this is 100 years ago, so stuff is not as safe as it is now, right?
Right.
Like, there would be, a really good chance that if this was 100 years ago, me and you would both be dead by now. So anyway, all we knew that his name was Mr. Candy. That's all we knew. We didn't know his first name, or nothing like that. We went through the records and stuff like that. And even though he was a soldier, all we had was Candy, the last name. And we looked through all kinds of the British, really, we did the British just infantry and stuff like that. Went through all those archives, couldn't find anything. Anyway, one of my EVPs I had came through as Old English. And I was like, wow. In fact, I'm spacing on what the actual words were, but if I remember correctly, it was, I asked this thing, why are you still here? What is your reason to still be here, and how can I help you? And it said, I have need to be. In other words, he's still protecting the grounds. So that was what was in my head. But, you know, once again, I took the ghost hunter out of that and said, wait now, I have need to be? That's Old English. This guy's British, man.
Yeah.
I went back, looked through the British naval records, and there he was.
Oh.
Captain, Henry Candy was his name.
That's great.
God love his heart. And I actually had to go up there and present that to people, and they just could not believe that I found the record. There it was. It said electrocuted to death in Newfoundland. I think the year was off by like 1 year. When it actually happened in the record, which happens sometimes, right?
Well, it depends on when they changed the year and when that happened, too.
Yep.
Because there was, that time shift.
Yep. The interesting thing, too, Robin, I think you can appreciate this, too, is when I brought it to them, they were just absolutely dumbfounded. They couldn't believe I found the first name of this guy, and they actually had to go and reprint one of their big old placards. So it cost them, like, lots of money. But, we did a fundraiser for the museum to pay for it, so it was okay.
Yeah.
But, I think about that. Once again, though, like, it all went back to what? Having that harsh criteria of, if it's not multiple word, it's not an EVP. What yeah. What would be some of the things that you'd be looking for in a haunted hotel?
Well, the first thing I look for is physical change. Like they have at this one hotel, they have these lawn chairs that show up in the elevator.
Yeah.
I want to know how that happens.
So a lawn chair just randomly shows up there.
Yes.
So this comes from outside in.
Yes. And there's not even a place that would have lawn chairs. It's right downtown, and there's no lawn chairs there.
Like, this is somebody who is 100% playing a joke. Like, to me, like, that has got to be a
right.
joke. Like,
right.
This has got to be a joke. But the thing is, I'm not saying it's not a ghost. Right?
Well, another thing at the same hotel, the person who was staying in the room found leftover cleaning equipment, like Comet stuff and, stuff to clean with. And so she called downstairs and said, I think one of your people left their stuff, can you come get it? So we went up, and I'm really good friends with the owner, so I get to go too. And these supplies were not even modern supplies. They were things that were used like 100 years ago.
Oh, God. Ancient toilet brush.
suddenly it's in my tower,
Right, right.
And the owner is really not a big believer.
Hmm.
Which amazes me because it's so obvious.
Right. And don't get me wrong, the skeptical people are always the most fun to convince at some point. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I've had them with me on those investigations and stuff happens. And it's just like, I have to go home and wrestle with my own thoughts for a while. And I know the feeling because I was one of those guys. Like, when I came into this, I was an atheist. So I'm not leaving as one, let me tell you. And
well, I knew when my husband and I got married, I wasn't into this stuff at all.
That's right, yeah.
And when I brought my work home with me one night, he thought I had really turned the corner and gone crazy.
Yeah.
Until she started tying his shoes together.
Oh, boy.
And suddenly it seemed a little bit more possible that we had a poltergeist.
Right. And here's the really cool thing, too, like, I wonder, too, like, how many people are out there right now, and there's, like, definite poltergeist activity in their house. Like,
oh, yeah.
No matter what. And they're just so oblivious, they'd have no idea.
Yeah.
I hate to laugh at something that could be potentially dangerous. Like, but the reality of it is I've never, ever had any kind of dangerous thing happen on an investigation. Like, I'm more of a danger to myself.
The worst that I ever did was fall over a chair that was behind me on a step back.
Right.
Tip has startled me, and I took a step back, and right over that chair I went. Oh, look, no. The ghost pushed you. No, the ghost didn't push me on the clutch.
Yeah, it's like, no, Robin, you didn't get scratched. You actually fell down and scratched yourself.
Exactly. You know, something bit you. It was reacting. You don't even remember doing it.
No. And you always wonder then, too, like, there's times when you're on these investigations and who you're investigating with is obviously paramount. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but, like, I got really crooked about it all and was just like, yeah, I think I'll just do it by myself.
I was badly injured emotionally and professionally by a group that I was part of, mm-hmm. and that made me go solo for a while. And I'm very picky about my team.
Good. Be picky.
You would love my EVP guy. You guys are...
Oh, you told me about this guy before, and I never did contact him. I gotta get his contact from you, man. Have him on. Like, maybe I can feel like we're like two generals, right? Yeah, let's talk about our stories. We'll be like Indiana Jones comparing trophies, and you know what I mean? Like, I think it'd be such a nerdy good time. Oh, want to hear this one? Sure. Right? Do you got any ones that are speaking German? I do. It'd be fun. And then, like, this, it's just, at the end of the day, you're a trophy hunter trying to figure out where this stuff is coming from in the room. That's pretty much where, yep, I ended my research. It was just like, yeah, as far as I got with it is, where is it coming from in the room? And I gritted out a room, and I talked to you about that before. And it, yep, was like, I finally found a room where I was getting enough repeatable data that I kept going back to it. And it was really fascinating. But then, unfortunately, there was a change in management at the museum. And they were like, sorry, bud, you can't come back. And I was like, oh, you're breaking my heart. And you're like, listen, thank you so much for all you've done, though. Right? And it was bittersweet. But at the same time, I'm not licked yet. I think right now in my life, I'm too busy to take it serious, yeah, like I want to.
Yep.
But when I age... You know, 20 years down the road, I think I might come back to this full steam ahead, right? I was very fortunate to start this in my 20s and be very, very active for 5 years, really. So
I was 40 and just had a baby.
Right.
And I needed something to do with my extra time.
This is always my favorite question. Like, what gets you into the paranormal? People usually talk about their first experience and their first reason to do what they do. And then I'm just like, okay, yeah, but why did you do it? So what was your reason to get into it, though, like even in the beginning?
I was actually looking for something to do in genealogy.
Yes, that's right.
And yes. My website at the time was called Chasing Dead Relatives. and it kind of just appeared on my search thing that there was a group in Toronto, and I said, well, okay, I wonder what they're doing. And they seemed to be very serious. They weren't seeking any exposure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, how do you research? Oh, we see people's happenings, you know. I said, no, do you go like in newspapers and stuff and verify this? And it was because I had learned as a genealogist, you got to have a paper trail.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Wait till you get in child protection. Oh, God. It's like we're having nothing unless it's on text message these days. Like, oh, yeah. But, you know, can you remember any of your investigations over the years where the scientific method kind of brought you some fruit, so to speak? Like, you went in there with an idea what you were looking for, you found data on it, and then you know, maybe got it maybe more than once?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, there's several places I'd love to still go back to. We were in a, I don't know what you Canadians call your Veterans Association. Legion?
Yes, Royal Canadian Legion. Yep.
Okay. We were in one of their buildings and got tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff and went back and got more. It was just phenomenal how haunted, I guess, that place is. And never anything bad. I mean, there was pain and there was some, you know, psychological issues, but it was never, like, scary or anything. And it was funny because we were in two different parts of the building, and there was one person on the upstairs team who was getting messages from the ghost about somebody on the downstairs team. it's all on EVP.
Right? Which lends...
It's all correct.
Right? Which lends credence to the idea that something I talked about before is that They can see us plain as day.
Oh, absolutely.
They can see us plain as day. They don't see us as energy like we probably would see them. They see us as human beings. They know exactly what we look like, what we're wearing, what color. Like, they know everything. So,
and you know why that is?
No, because I don't.
We are programmed to give the image to whatever we're most familiar with. So if we had never been exposed to anything but dogs, we would assume that anybody we met was a dog. Regardless of how they looked.
Okay, that's a really interesting idea. So here it comes. So I'm in this room and this guy upstairs gets an EVP and it's describing me as a scary person or an evil man. What if that's all that entity ever had? And it's like, how interesting is that? Which kind of harkens back to what we talked about almost 20 minutes ago about the whole idea that not every ghost that scratches you is you know, scary. It might just be someone with some issues, right?
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. You know, as we draw to a close with this bonus episode, I'm just so thankful you took time again. I messaged you totally on a whim, too, this week. I was like, man, like, am I even going to get this person? Like, how busy is she? Is she traveling? Like, what's going on? Oh, my God. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it and get her on here. So
anything that you want to get, you need to get before September, because my busy season is always September, October, November.
Which is another thing, too. And I'm the same way. Like, I'm literally recording my next couple of guests over the next few days because I'm going to be so busy. And
yep.
I'm so fortunate that I actually got invited back to the Haunted Arts and Culture Center. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And
excellent.
They want me to come back because when I was there last time, I debunked just about everything that was in the building. And then ended up catching some weird stuff on the soundstage. And not enough to make me convinced there's anything there, but enough to convince me to come back. Definitely. It was like,
We were never allowed to go back to a local place because we completely debunked all of their stuff and they wrote their own history and now they give ghost tours.
That's right. And you know, that happens too. My favorite is when you go on a ghost tour and find something totally different, but you still find stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Chinese whispers. Remember that game? You know, everyone whispers in one ear and they whisper to the next kid and eventually it's a completely different sentence.
Yeah.
It's no different when you tell a ghost story. It really isn't.
Oh, you know, the one experience that I had at the Loeb with the captain standing in my room, that story has been told so many times by people I have no idea who they are. And there's always something added.
Every time there's like new information added, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Or like he, that was his room always or something like that. No, I never said anything like that.
You wonder then too, like, how much of the actual ghost story people are actually absorbing because they're like, I can't wait to add my own stuff. It's like,
absolutely. And what they're experiencing, it's like when you read a book, you have an imagination of what you're reading. And I think that way with stories, they're picturing it according to their experience, and they're adding their own stuff even as you're telling it.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually a big thing with some friends I have. You know, they always talk about reading your favorite book every year of your life because you're going to find different stuff in it, and it's going to feel different every time you read it. Like, I've been reading the same book every year since I was a small child, which is Redwall by Brian Jock, one of my favorite children's book. Love that book. It's like my comfort food. I read it like once a year. I also finish a video game called Earthbound every single year because it's like my favorite game of all time. And every time I play that game or read that book, I see something different. Yeah. And I think that's so cool. And, you know, another reason to go back over your data. Like, I think that's a really good idea, too. Like,
absolutely.
If you ever went back over your EVPs from years ago, like all you EVP people out there like me, man, like, you might be like, oh, my God, that's not what that was at all. And then you might hear more. Like, I had another one. I was like, oh, my God, I'm hearing, like, three or four voices here. Like, this is nuts. I never picked up that last time. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's the really cool thing about EVP is the layers.
Yeah, man. One of the really neat things about it, too, is I'm not still convinced that there's actually a spirit is speaking to us half the time. I'm thinking we're probably manifesting this stuff ourselves, and it's actually
But isn't that the same thing?
Yes, yes, because it's intent. Like, I think that if you intend on capturing an EVP, you're going to capture one. It's going to happen. I'm just wondering what the vehicle is, right?
I also believe that if you are a ghost, you have at some point intended to be a ghost.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think it's thrust upon you. I think that you have to, on some level, have wanted that.
Man. So this whole thing we joked about earlier, are you really going to do this to me? Because, like, I'm going to be there. I'll be waiting, man. Like,
oh, I am so going to haunt you. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yes, even just for a couple hours. Like, don't do nothing too crazy.
And, you know, my poltergeist has a southern accent. That's why she picked me. So you, when you hear mine, you'll know.
Oh, man. I don't even know what kind of tea to get you. I don't.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of tea do you want when you come over?
Sweet iced tea with a half a cup of sugar.
Oh, yeah. You want vodka in it? You're going to be well now. You're allowed to drink now, by the way. They don't call you spirits for nothing. So
right.
Let's talk a little tiny bit about, you know, your mindset now heading into this season of your life. And, you know, we had the panic button pressed already. We've been there. We've worked through it. And we're feeling now like, wow, it's kind of come full circle. Still well enough to travel and have fun, just loving life right now, from what I can hear.
Well, I finally understand the idea of a bucket list.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I always thought they were self-indulgent. And,
oh, you know. God, this is some powerful stuff. Okay. I got to hear Robin Bellamy's. Here comes, folks. Here comes the bucket list. Okay, let's hear it. You can share it with us. We want to hear it. This is awesome.
My first, actually, you're going to think this is crazy, but my big thing was I wanted to go to a NASCAR race.
Really?
I worked in radio for 15 years, and I always did the board ops for those.
Oh, yeah.
And I got very, very involved. And my favorite guy was Jimmy Spencer. And he, of course, is retired now, so I'm not going to get to see him. But I had tickets next weekend to an NASCAR race. And that can cross that off my list.
Wow. That's so cool. Is that going to be in Toronto?
Actually, it's in upstate New York.
Gotcha.
Watkins Glen.
Oh, man. How cool is that, right?
Yeah. It's actually okay. Not far from me.
Well, good for you. And I know NASCAR is just, it's a different kind of meditation when you watch that. It's like golf. I find it's very similar to golf. It takes a certain type of person to be into it.
Yep. I'm not a golf person.
Neither am I. But, like, for some reason, I can sit back and watch it for hours.
Well, I'd be too distracted trying to figure out why it went in a certain direction at that speed and, you know.
Oh, my God. I just found out what else I should do when I become a ghost. I'm going to go to the golf course, and I'm going to help those guys who suck. And, like, it's going to be great. I'm going to help, like, the Billy Madisons out there.
just manifest a new one where it needs to be.
Oh, my God. I said Billy Madison. I should have said Happy Gilmore. Sorry about that. Sorry, Adam Sandler, wherever you are. I messed that up. Okay, so that's one thing on the bucket list. What else you got?
I wanted to see the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, that's a beautiful idea. Yeah.
My sister-in-law lives in Calgary.
Oh, and you know what? Like, am I right in saying a lot of those restrictions are gone over there now, too?
Oh, yeah. They're just living life out there.
Yeah, like, a bunch of my buddies were like, we're going to come home from Newfoundland, but shag that now. We're staying up. Like, there's a huge population of Newfoundlanders over there. Like, they pretty much own the place. It started 20 years ago, and, like, now there's generations of Newfoundlanders who just live there. In Alberta.
How Saskatchewan got all the Ukrainians. They were giving away land to Ukrainians, and now it's fully Ukrainian.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Don't even start me on BC. Everyone's from Europe. Like, everyone. Like,
it's insane. The California of Canada.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. Beautiful, though. Okay. So far, we got NASCAR. We've got the Rocky Mountains. This is a pretty awesome bucket list, by the way. What else you got?
Number three is to watch my son actually get a job.
Oh, how old is he now?
He's 20, but he's got learning disabilities and he didn't finish high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got such anxiety.
Of course. Yep.
And 2 weeks ago, he told me he was ready to put it in an application somewhere.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's huge.
That is huge. And take it from someone, oh, my God, like, I'm right there with you, man. Like, I just had, and like, this was a kid that I used to spend a lot of time, I used to volunteer with him all the time. And, like, within our organization. It wasn't part of my job. It was just something I love to do because I love this kid so much. And just a total wrestling nut, just like me. So we got along great. And, you know, God love his heart. He aged out of care, and he moved out a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And, like, that is exactly where I'm to with him. I'm like, so, man, got a job yet? But, you know, once again, you know, he's got some... some stuff going on there. That means he probably won't ever really have a job, you know, that's right. going to be, you know, ending too serious. You know what I mean? Like, it might be something that's coached, right? So that's, yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Yeah, I really want you to see that come true and manifest. Hmm.
But right now we're practicing. He's cleaning for me for an hourly rate.
Deadly job to have. Deadly, yeah. In Newfoundland means amazing, by the way, if you're ever wondering. If I say that's deadly, I don't mean like, you know, it's not dead. It's not an actual death thing. Yeah.
It can be working for me.
Right.
Nothing is worse than working for a parent. I worked for my dad for a while, and it was brutal.
Oh, yeah. He just torture you.
And I was good at my job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad was like, "You are so good at this podcasting thing." I'm like, "Thanks, Dad." He's like, "You know, we don't make money at it, so do something else."
Right. You know, my dad actually said that to me when I was in radio all those years ago.
Right.
Yeah. When are you going to get a real job?
When are you going to get a real job? My wife sometimes says, "Well, I mean, you're a stay-at-home parent." She forgets, like, Noba.
Yeah, seriously.
Noba, I'm not a stay-at-home parent. I am a foster parent to mentally fragile children. It's a very stressful, hard job. So, yeah, no doubt. Okay, so we got NASCAR. We got the Rocky Mountains. We've got son get a job. Take out the papers in the trash. Get a job.
I got one more.
One more.
I only got one more. I want to be on, that real famous paranormal show that's been around for decades in the desert. Crazy guy died, and now it's a new guy's got. Oh, what is the name of that thing?
Well, there's a couple of different shows. I mean, there's Ghost Hunters, and there's
older,
even older than that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's just a radio show. It's very.
Oh, my goodness gracious! Oh, you're talking about Midnight in the Desert. Are you talking about Art Bell's old show?
Yeah, it used to be Art Bell. His old show.
Yeah, George Norrie took it over for a while, and
right.
Oh, geez, you want to get on the show? Why didn't you just ask me? I know all these people.
Well, I never asked to be on somebody's show. I went to earn that.
That's right.
And I just wouldn't ever contact them and say, you need to have me on your show.
Okay, so this is what I would do. I would get someone like me, who's already doing podcasts, and be like, hey, I had this lady on twice. You should have her on, just letting you know. First stop for you would probably be Darkness Radio with Darkness Dave Schrader.
I might have done that one, actually.
I'd probably get back on there again, and he'll direct you, because he's in with all those people and covers that show all the time. In fact, he's hosted it. So, yeah, you might want to give him a call, because I think you've already had the person in your world. I love helping with your bucket list. Me?
There used to be a group called Ghostly Talk, and they were amazing. And they're the ones that kind of got me hooked on the desert stuff.
Yeah, it's hard not to get into it too. Like, I remember there was a period of my life where like I'd listen to nothing but paranormal podcasts for like,
oh god,
all day and night, and just
love it. You
still
have a brain?
Oh yeah. Oh, I do. It's, but to me that was always an escape from a boring world. Right. So it was always a positive thing, believe it or not. Now I'm listening to mostly scripture. I guess I've matured in my spirituality.
Well, and what we used to be your escape is now your boring world.
That's true. Isn't that interesting? So glad I got out of the video games, really. You know, the time is drawing to an end. It's time for us to say goodbye. Anything you want to say to the listeners out there who are hearing you for the second time? Here at the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, they loved you the first time. I had many, many lovely emails and stuff like that saying, you got to get that sweet lady on again. The sweet lady was sweet lady. That was kind of what they liked. I don't know what they were listening to. I mean, I didn't really think so. I'm joking.
I am happy to come and chat with you anytime.
Yeah, I'm joking.
I know.
Is there any message though you want to pass on? Let people know.
You know, I have a piece of advice. Take yourself and your study more seriously.
Take yourself and your study more seriously. Try to use that scientific method a little bit more when you're out there. And
we should actually talk about that sometime.
Yeah. God, see, we did it again. God damn it. We did it again. Why do we always do this? Okay, you know what? You know what? No, 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 no. We're doing it tonight. This is ending. We have to stop this. We have to stop this. We still have 5 minutes. Okay, so we had a hypothesis. We went into a location to try to find it.
You don't start with hypotheses. That's one of the problems. You start with a question.
Okay.
And then you do a little bit of research so that you understand your question, and then you do the hypothesis.
Yes. Okay. So question, research, hypothesis. Okay. Right. We have our hypothesis.
And then you start the experiment. Do some thought about what the experiment will actually give you.
We need to find out how that lawn chair got there. Did you say it was in the elevator?
Yeah, it was in the elevator.
What the heck, man? That's so crazy. Like, what? So obviously this thing had to move it up a hall somehow into the elevator and then close the door on it.
And send it to the next floor.
What the heck, man?
We ended up putting somebody on every floor because they wanted to see it.
You know what? I wonder if this spirit is putting that in the elevator as a little way of saying, you know, why don't you sit down and take a load off while you're in the elevator? Hang out with me. I wonder.
I think it was to draw attention to the owl, the activity that they were having.
Yeah, no doubt. If like, to me, the first thing I'm thinking from a scientific method point of view, though, when I see that chair is I'm looking at that chair, man. I'm checking it out, see if there's anything at all that could be.
Well, I take fingerprints.
Yeah, fingerprints, readings. Like, I'd like to think that if a spirit, like, it's got to give off something. A lot of people talk about radiation, actually.
Well, I got my doubts about that, but I'm not well versed enough on physical science.
Neither am I. Like, I'm once again, I'm all about the audio. Like, but you know, just trying to think about that side of your method. We found a chair now. Like, this is what we have. Our chair is the data.
And so, what would the hypothesis be? It can't be just as simple as how did it get here. You have to decide it got here X way.
That's right. So my hypothesis would be it came up the hall somehow. It had to have an origin. Where did it come from?
No, it's more specific than that. It came up the hall carried by somebody.
There you go. Or something.
Because if you can disprove that, you just change the hypothesis. Work towards it until you get to the point where you understand.
Right. See, this is why I'm the EVP researcher and your lead investigator. See, folks, this is how it's done.
But I'm old enough to be your mother, so.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. We're all eternal.
Actually, I've never felt any more that was true than I have lately.
Yeah, I've been renewed myself. I've this whole COVID thing, like, I know it's done a lot of damage to people, but I feel like it's fixed my brain about a lot of things. It was a forced break away from a world that's at a breakneck pace, and it just gave everyone more perspective. And I've noticed people are more friendly. They're nicer. They're genuinely happy to see you. Like, what a nice feeling, as opposed to 3 years ago when it was like, it's all about me.
I'm pretty sure my delivery guy and I are good friends now.
Right? It's like, how's the kids, man? You've had two since lockdown. Like, how's it going?
The guy came today with something and he says, where's your dog? Because we've got the dog kennel at the moment. And I'm like, you remember I had a dog?
Right? Like, and then the poor ghost in the background going, still hasn't noticed me here.
Yeah, throwing books at my back or something. Yeah,
big books on the occult.
Yeah, all of my Stephen King books go flying across the room. It's like, if that ever happens, my husband will lose his mind.
Yeah, right? Like, I've never seen anything flicked. I've seen a glass move. I had my shoulder tapped. That was about it, right? So I think that if something seriously big enough moved, I think I would probably actually, like, just whiz my pants right there. So if you're coming back to haunt me, move my table.
Are you familiar with the Philip experiment? A group in Toronto put together kind of like a fake ghost group and created a spirit named Philip.
Okay, yeah. This sounds familiar, though.
Yeah, it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, like, this was 90s?
Maybe even before that. It was, I don't know. I came to Canada in 2000, so anything that happened before that.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, I kind of think, like, and they created it, so they made up their own ghost stories, basically.
Right. They gave him a personality and all that kind of stuff. And I was fortunate enough to talk to one of the people in that group before he died and to actually see the table they were using. And I thought, this is so cool. I have the coolest job in the world.
Yeah, really. So they make up this ghost.
Yes.
And then it actually becomes something?
Yes.
Wow. And this is for real.
There's a word for that, but I don't remember what it is. Where you manifest something.
Well, manifestation. Well, when you think about it, though, I mean, we're pretty much one of the few animals on the planet who can do that now. Like, you can come up with a blueprint to build a building, and then we can build a building. Like, chimpanzee can't really do that. Dolphin can't really do that. They can do something similar, maybe. But, like, you know, like, we got a very complex brain that way. So,
yeah,
I could see that. Like, another thing is that Slender Man thing that was going around, that creepypasta thing that was going on a few years back. Yeah. Remember that? And then it was like, suddenly people are seeing this thing on Investigation. So, let's hope that the Slender Man stays away.
And the shadow people.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on the shadow people. Anyway, so much for the scientific method. We're out of time.
So you make an observation, and then you try to prove that with your own experiment, and if it's duplicatable, you probably have enough results to draw a conclusion.
Woohoo! You probably
and
do.
And then you present your findings for peer review.
And then the peers look at you and say, you're absolutely insane. Like, we're still trying to figure out the theory of relativity here, even though we pretty much got it proven, but we still haven't got it perfectly proven.
Well, the big problem in this business is everybody thinks that they're the expert and nobody else is.
Yeah, it's like, I'm the best at what I... It reminds me of, okay, are you aware of who Wolverine is of the X-Men?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm the best I am at what I do is, like, his catchphrase.
Yep.
It's like he's the best he is at what he does, which is kill people back in the day. So, you know, EVP researcher, I'm the best I am at what I do.
It's like, yep.
Yeah, but you still never figured anything out, John. I'm trying to figure out where it came from in a room, man. I'm trying, okay?
You know, I go on some shows that are not the quality that yours is, and I talk about the struggles of trying to convince people that things aren't paranormal.
Yeah.
And then immediately everybody's mad at me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm the least popular kid on the playground all of a sudden, right?
Right.
It's like, nah, man, like that wasn't anything on the flare camera, dude. I like, just was leaning up against that wall 20 minutes ago and I still got a little bit of heat
and
there.
And why are you using that camera anyway?
Right? Like,
show me the data that says that this has benefits.
Well, there's also the other thing too, where I would use it just as a temperature thing, but realistically, like, one of my beliefs is that stuff is an immersion phenomena. It's not actually in our plane, it's somewhere else coming into our plane. So
yeah,
temperature and light and stuff like that, you might not be getting that, which is why audio seems to be the thing.
Yeah. And that's why I was so knocked out of my socks when we had the laser beam break.
Right. Because that thing has to be, that has to exist in reality, like right in front of you.
Yeah, it has to have some kind of physicalness.
Yeah. Even if it's a void. Like, and then there's the other part of it too, where how big is the laser? Like, was it just a regular laser pointer when this happened?
Yeah, like, it was just a regular laser pointer.
Interesting stuff. So it did break the beam of light though. So that obviously it has to, did it completely break the beam of light though?
Yeah.
Wow. So that means it was solid.
Yep.
Wow. Or at least dense enough to absorb enough of that light, which is pretty intense. Like, if you shine a laser through a shirt, it'll still go through the wall, right? So,
right.
Interesting.
This is absolutely stunted.
Yeah. Like, how do we explain this? Well,
we took it apart looking for, like, mice and other things that could have crawled in front that we wouldn't necessarily have noticed. And we didn't find any evidence of that at all.
Right. I mean, the only thing I can think of, even in that case, would probably be a bug, but what's the chances? It right. would have to, like, fly at the laser and land on it, like, to do that.
Right.
Because I don't think a flutter is going to shut that thing down for a second. And right. you guys had a document. How long was the beam broken? Was it only momentarily, or was it like...
It was significant. It wasn't like minutes, but it was enough to notice, like, hey, that's still there.
Yeah, know? Like, in other words...
approaching it and then watching it go away.
Interesting, interesting stuff. And, you know, like, if this stuff exists elsewhere and it's manifesting here, there has to be a way of documenting that, too. And
yes.
that's kind of like where I was going with mine. It was, I got to grid out this room and find out where this EVP is coming from constantly
right.
so that I can... start, you know, I can at least have, like, I look at, like, it's no different in archaeology. I'm mapping out an area
That's right.
That we know where the things are too. So that, you know, when the actual archaeologists show up, I'm the field researcher, and then the archaeologist shows up and starts digging.
I actually got to help with the dig once. It was wonderful.
Okay, now this is cool. Okay, totally unexpected, totally off topic, but this is kind of cool. Okay, tell me about it.
I was actually in, believe it or not, Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Oh, God. Okay. Point Pleasant. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, you really, really got to look that up.
the haunted place of the world.
Yeah. Something about a moth. I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
the museum there was trying to build an extension, but they had to have an archaeological something or other because it was the first battle of the Revolutionary War in that area.
Okay.
And they had to get the clearance from the archaeologist, and you know. And I happened to be visiting that day, and I was standing there watching him work, and I was just fascinated and full of questions. And he says, "Why don't you come down here and dig with me?" I thought, "Oh,
that is so cool."
No, it wasn't like mummy finding stuff, but it was very cool.
I mean, you sound like the type of person who needs to put something else on that bucket list. Are you ready? You need to get a metal detector and go do this. Like, so much fun.
I've actually thought about that. I'm a huge Oak Island fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to be on that island just once. Maybe we'll put that one on, too.
That's how I met my first paranormal investigating buddy. That's the first thing we got into, uncovering the unknown that way. And it was like digging through the ground, finding old bottle caps from, like, the 30s. It was so cool, man. I thought that was wild, right? Now, he was in it for, like, Spanish doubloons and all this stuff.
Yeah.
he had the bigger dreams. I was just kind of happy to, like, find the old pop bottle and bring it home to Dad and be like, hey, was this around when you were a kid? One, he was like...
I'm the kind of person who would find things like their retainer for their braces, you know?
Oh, my God. You finally found the keys to the house you lost 30 years ago. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is
or
so great.
Or something.
Anyway, Robin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this bonus episode. Like, the listeners are going to love this. You know, it took us a long time to kind of...
Going to be doing some bonuses in the future, aren't you?
Yeah. I just... I really, really, really want people to do the bonus stuff with me. And the reason why is my format is always a half hour for my sponsor. And
yeah,
I love my sponsor, and I don't want to lose my sponsor, so I keep my sponsor happy. But at the same time, I also love you guys, and I want to make sure that, you know, if there's anything else you guys need to share or you want to, that you have that chance. And, you know, I just felt like there was so much more, and I was right. Here we are an hour later. I knew there was a lot more to get out of Miss Bellamy.
You know, you can edit and make it two runs.
You what?
You know, you can edit it and make it two runs.
Huh. A double header. Ooh, I can see those extra views coming in now, baby.
There you go. Glad I can help.
Thank you so much for being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast again, old friend. You take care of yourself now.
Thank you, my dear.
All right, take care now. Bye now.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter at ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.